Good evening and welcome to Local Motion, where we go in depth with local public affairs from around the KVNF listening area. I'm Laura Palmisano. Savano Valley outside of Montrose, Colorado contains petroglyphs drawn by hunters and gatherers. The valley was also once home to other indigenous people and the Ute Indians who created rock art there as well. Archaeologist Carol Patterson has studied these drawings for over a decade. Through the Ute Indian Museum in Montrose, she leads guided tours of the Savano Valley petroglyphs. Today on the program, Patterson will take us on that tour.
We're in Savano Valley, that's about 5 miles west of Montrose, and it's a sheltered valley where the Utes used to camp in the wintertime because it's sheltered from bad weather. And then in the spring, they would take off and go up into the high country from here. So they were only here for a little while, not very long, but it was a nice gathering place for ceremonies like the Ute Bear Dance.
And we're in a parking lot right now. Where are we heading next?
We're heading east up about 200 feet up the hillside to the rock face that runs along the cap rock along the mesa there, where there's eight different stations that have petroglyph panels that talk about Ute religion, like the bear dance. So this area was owned by the Montrose Youth and Community Foundation and fenced off, and only people with a guide can visit these petroglyphs in order to protect them. And then the Archaeology Conservancy bought it in 2013, and same rules apply. There's eight stations with little bear paws with numbers on them that correspond to a guidebook that has explanations for each panel as we go up the trail. The Utes travel in a sunwise direction, so they always travel going from left to right. So we're going to go up this trail. We're going to go left and then right along up on the top. And that's such a strong tradition. Even today, they go to Walmart, they go from the left, and they don't come back the same way. They always come around and make a full circle, the sunwise direction. But the Utes are oriented to the south, not the north, and that's a big difference. And that has enabled us to understand more of the Ute rock art maps that are up here, that how they've mapped out the whole countryside, because they're oriented to the south, and then everything falls into place, you'll see. So as you look out, you can see that the way the Utes see the universe in arcs, they're kind of like a pancake, and each layer has a color and a boss animal that resides over it. So each of these arcs, there's five, and five is the sacred number for the Utes. You have the sky world, the upper world, the center world, the lower world, and the underworld. An eagle is in the sky world, mountain lion is in the upper world, wolf is in the center world, and weasel is in the lower world, but snake is in the underworld. So in the winter time, the bear goes into hibernation. He's going into that underworld. It's kind of a metaphor for where he's going to go. So he goes into hibernation, and then in the spring, he comes out. And when he comes out, he's really hungry. And he's kind of roaming around for something to eat, something to cleanse his stomach. And the Utes watch this. They watch what the bear eats, what he eats for stomach aches, what he eats for pain, or anything medicinal. The bear knows what kind of plants to find and use. So the bear is kind of the person for medicine. He's the keeper of medicine knowledge. And when he goes into hibernation, he's going into that underworld. When he comes out, he's kind of grouchy, and the Utes want to appease him by holding a ceremony called the bear dance, because together they're going to both go up into the high country and share those food resources. They both eat the same kinds of things. So that's sort of the origin of the bear dance, to appease the bear, to celebrate the bear. And then from then on, the bear is what they call upon for healing, whenever they're doing doctoring, they're going to call on that bear power and that bear knowledge for healing.
Can you explain why we're at Station 3 and kind of what it is?
Okay, so we're going to go into this crack. And in the whole crack are symbols. And this man, Clifford Duncan, he was a spiritual advisor for the Northern Utes. And he studied Ute religion all his life. He was a practicing healer, ceremonial leader. And what I'm telling you today is basically what he has conveyed to me. So what he says is when you die, your spirit travels around for 3 days, 4 days totally, just to see how everybody is after you've died. And in that journey, you go through the underworld, and then you pass a great abyss. And then Sinewave, the creator, greets your spirit and sends it skyward. So we're going to see in this cave depictions of the spirit. It's a line with a T sort of shape at the end of it. It's just a body without a head, kind of a long line with a that terminates in a T shape. It travels across, and then you'll see a little depiction of Sinewave. He's depicted as both a wolf or a man. When he's shown as a man, he has big hands because he's created all the trails that are sacred to the Utes and the animals, everything else. But as a dog shape, he's shown where he's greeting the spirit entity in this cave. And he's depicted on a lot of rock art sites all throughout the Colorado Plateau, even in the Barrier Canyon paintings that we see in the Four Corners area. He's just a little dog. He has a white band on his belly, white paws, white tips on his ears, and a curled tail. But he's always associated with Water Grandmother, that's the Mother Earth, and the creating the trails and leading the Ute people throughout this country.
So we're going to walk into this narrow cave here?
Yeah, it's hard to see these petroglyphs. The best we can do is show you some little drawings of them. But as we go in, you can see there's serpent lines coming up like that. And there's a spirit line that comes across here. There's a bear paw coming up, and going down here. So bears going into hibernation, coming out in the spring. Across here is a spirit line coming across with that T shape right there. And here's this great abyss, this big opening. And here comes the spirit line up. And here's the little Sinewave with his greeting this spirit and sending it skyward. So as we emerge out of this cave, it's just like the bear. We're coming out of the earth, and we're reenacting the myth. We're internalizing this myth of the bear coming out of hibernation. So we go out, and we look back, and we'll see this crack, this kind of womb shape opening that is repeated at the top. So you're going to go up to that trail, and I'll meet you at the end there.
You are listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Laura Pomisano. We're in the middle of touring the Savano Valley Petroglyph site led by archaeologist Carol Patterson.
There's three episodes of pecking here. The very early is the archaic, and it's the very lightest that's hard to see. And then the second one is Ute, and it shows the bear and the tree and a bear up high. And then the third one is a more expedient bear and a tree and a horse. Okay, so the earliest one is using what we call rock incorporation. This crevice in the rock has been utilized to represent a landform, like a cave or a valley. And it has a little line pecked out of it, and it goes up to the top, and it has a little person holding a digging stick and a burden basket. So that person is probably a woman walking with her digging stick in her basket to collect Indian rice grass and other plants and roots and berries and things that they need to eat. But it's incorporating this crevice. So we know that that's a trail because she's walking on it. It comes out, forks up here, goes across, it goes up that way and forks, comes out here and goes up, and this represents Shabano Valley itself. Now the second episode, which is Ute, also incorporates this crevice, like the cave we just crawled out of, because it has footprints leading up to a bear. These little dots are footprints, bear footprints. The bear is standing by this tree. Now the tree has five branches, which are a sacred number for the Utes, and it has roots that go into the underworld. So in the mythology, young men that were hunting witnessed a bear coming out of its cave, going up to the tree and doing a little dance back and forth. And the elders told them, well, this is really significant. The bear is trying to teach you this dance. And from now on, we will conduct this ceremony doing that little dance called the bear dance. It's called Mawakmawi, which means back and forth dance. Bear up high is of this same era. And it's shown what we call diagrammatically. It's shown with its paws flexed and spit coming out of its mouth and its back legs churning up the ground behind it. And that's because during the bear dance, families would bring in their sick members into the corral during an intermission and call on their family shaman to do doctoring on their family member. And in order to do this doctoring, the medicine man has to call on bear power, what we talked about with the medicine, knowledge, to pull that sickness out of the patient. But that bear has to be fierce. He can't be a wimpy bear. He can't be a brown bear. He has to be a grizzly bear. He's got to be powerful with flexed paws and spit coming out of his mouth and churning up the ground. And that power is what the shaman will use for doctoring, for pulling out that sickness. So during the bear dance in the old days, the Utes used to put red paint in their mouth and let it drool out to show that ferocity of the bear. And all across this plateau, there's different sites with bears with flexed paws and bear paw prints on the rock to show their medicine sites, their sites where ceremonies like this were held. So everyone asks what this is. It's actually a map. It's kind of abstract linear, but it's of the same era. It uses rock incorporation with the knobs and bumps in it. And as Clifford Duncan has told us, the Utes are oriented to the south, not the north. So I've taken this and drawn it and transposed it onto a topographic map, and it fits perfectly oriented to the south. This is the Uncompahgre River, and we're standing like right here. That's Horsefly Peak, which is right over there, the highest part of the plateau. This is Dry Creek that runs right down the center of the plateau. These are trails that go over. This is Rubidoux Canyon with Horseshoe Canyon and Traveler's Basin and Oak Hill, all circled in the map. So here are the five levels, and it's the oldest representation we have, with the sky world, the upper world, center world, lower world, and underworld. But it's also got a tree that bisects it. And that's what becomes important later on when they redraw the tree and they only show the terrestrial part, not the sky and the underworld. But here's a very old version of it. And again, the bear paw. Here's a weasel. Remember, the weasel is for the lower world, the second to last. And see, his little toes are going into this crack, into the underworld. This is panel number 4, and this is my favorite panel because it shows the Ute bear dance in sign language symbols. And that was the topic of my PhD, was sign language gestures in rock art. So what we have is the bear. As Clifford says, when you see a bear paw print, it means something is important. When the bear stands up and puts his paws on the panel, on the rock face, something is important. Pay attention. So pay attention, there's a bear. And the line with the little radiating lines out from it is the first round of the bear dance, calling the bear dance. And when you put one finger up, in sign language, it means a person. So you've got many persons lined up along a line. And the first round of the bear dance is the women go and pick a partner. They swish them with their shawls. And then they go and stand on the line. And the men have to line up. And so the men face the women, facing each other all along a line, and they dance for 4 days. They take a few breaks. But when a couple falls, as Clifford calls this, crash and burns, they fall out of formation. It's kind of signals the end of the bear dance. But the bear dance is done, and it's shown here in this glyph, with grizzly paw prints, the front paw has 5 toes, the back paw has 4 in a print in the snow. And the line connecting to the lower footprint is how you say to hold in sign language. You're holding something with a perpendicular line to whatever it is. It can be a shield, it can be a rock, it can be a jar, or it can be a person, a wife. It's the word for marriage when you're holding a wife. But in here, it's holding this bear paw. So the foot's being held there. But on the heel is a wavy line that extends out. And the wavy line in sign language means movement back and forth. Whatever it is, if it has a head on it, it's a snake, it can be water, it can be whatever. But this one is touching a bear paw print. So it's moving back and forth, but held in one place. And the name of the bear dance in Ute is Mwakmowi, which means back and forth dance. The word bear isn't even in it. It's Mwakmowi, back and forth. And that's the bear dance, back and forth with your feet. And they dance to and from each other, back and forth. Clifford says one dancer is the tree and one dancer is the bear, and they dance back and forth, and they sort of are trading. One is the bear, one is the tree, one's the tree, one's the bear, metaphorically speaking. This is panel 5. It's a lot of spiritual stuff going on in here, underworld stuff. Again, you have the spirit lines coming across. You see lines going into little holes, Rock Incorporation. See little spirit animals, these little dotty, very light ones. There's one, there's 2 more back over here. There's another serpent going into a hole. A little spirit animal there, there, there. And way up high is Sinuiv. See how he holds his hands out across in sign language? That means to do or to make. And down from his foot comes a line, and it comes down, 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 all the way down to our eye level, all the way back up to the top, and then up and down, back to his foot. He's the creator of the trails. He made all the trails, and the trails are sacred to the Utes. That's what they use to negotiate all these landscapes to find the food that they need to survive. This panel shows us how old the very light petroglyphs are that we are calling archaic. This little man up here has a gesture of a bent arm throwing, and he's got a long spear that comes all the way down here, and this projectile point at the very end we're calling Deception Creek style, that goes back 4,000 to 6,000 BP, which is very, very old, and it's going right through this animal here. And these spears are called atlatls. He's throwing an atlatl, and we know that had to be before the bow and arrow, which came in about 400 AD. This is a depiction of how you throw the atlatl. It has finger loops on it, and you hold it in your hand, and you use those finger loops to thrust it forward. And here's a depiction of this atlatl and the spear that's positioned on it with the little finger loops there, and he's thrusting it forward. So that's how we know how the little lady with the burden basket is as old as he is, before the Utes were in here.
And how many years before the Utes were these carvings in place?
Linguists say the Utes came in about 1100 AD. Jim Goss, an anthropologist, says the Utes have been here 10,000 years. Or maybe they're the same people that did these, only just thousands of years later. And so languages evolve and traditions evolve and religion evolves, so you can't see the connection, but they're old.
This is Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. We are wrapping up our tour of the Savinaw Valley Petroglyph Site with archaeologist Carol Patterson.
I have a PhD in archaeology, but it's the main topic is rock art, and I had to go to Australia to get it because it's the only place to find supervisors in rock art that would supervise me. And I've published several books on rock art, but it's petroglyphs and pictographs that are connected to mythology. And so my main focus is trying to dig up the cultural context that's behind these petroglyphs. So Savinaw Valley really interested me in about 2004, and I came out here, and I was determined to find a way to interpret them, find out how the Utes interpreted these sites. So I hooked up with Clifford Duncan, a Ute, from the Northern Ute Reservation, who was also interested in petroglyphs, and his father was Incan Padre, and so he was determined to learn all he could about petroglyph sites all in the Incan Padre Plateau and decipher their meaning. Their spiritual meaning is what he was really after, what the bear dance meant, what these ceremonies were that the early Utes, his ancestors, conducted. If we go back in history, Chief Chavineau was a Ute that was Chief Ure's war chief and a medicine man. And he lived here right at the foot of these petroglyphs. As we look down, we see the head of Coal Creek, and he had a little farm right here. Because there's a spring, a natural artesian spring that feeds the water at the head of Coal Creek. And so it became a perfect place for gathering and carrying out ceremonies like the bear dance every year. And then for the rest of the year, the Utes were pretty dispersed into little family groups, hunting and gathering across the plateau, looking for food and constantly on the move. They didn't stay in one place for more than 2 or 3 days. But in wintertime, they could hunker down in these canyons and a sheltered valley like Chavineau and tough out the winter. And then in the spring, gather together for ceremony and then go on up onto the high country for the summer. So in about 2013, this property was sold to the Archaeology Conservancy with the same stipulation that it's always open to the public and to have a guide to take you through. And I was hired in 2005 to do trail guides for this place. And we decided not to put up hardened signs or pave the parking lot or put up water and bathrooms, but to let it be sort of an adventure for people to come up, walk along the trail, and at each station there's a little symbol of a bear paw and a number. Then you can look at the guidebook yourself and figure out, or just read what that panel is about according to Clifford or whoever we have that's interpreted it. And as the years have gone by, it's gone from 8 pages to 16 pages, and now it's up to 36 pages. So we've saved a lot of money in replacing signs by just replacing guidebooks. So to go on this tour, go to the Ute Museum, which is now housed in the Visitor Center in downtown Montrose, and ask, go down to the gift shop and ask to do a tour. And they have the telephone numbers for 3 guides, and one of them is usually free to take you on a tour. And we are also looking for trainees. If anyone wants to train to be a guide, we would very much appreciate it. Summertime, we don't do a lot of tours because it's so hot, but it starts up again in September, and we'll go anytime we can get a group. We can take up to 12 people, and it takes about an hour and a half or 2 hours to come up the hill, see these different panels, and listen to what the guide has to say about it. Bring plenty of water, sunscreen, and a hat, and sturdy shoes. You have to have some good hiking shoes because it's not a well-manufactured trail. It's slippery with little pebbles and rocks and lots of cactus ready to grab your ankles.
That was archaeologist Carol Patterson. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano.